Hey everybody, welcome to the first inaugural episode of This Ridiculous Life podcast with Corey and Lindsay Miller. So we're here in our dining room. This is kind of going to be a raw podcast, but we just kind of came up with this and thought, you know, it'd be cool to share our lives, right, Lindsay?
Absolutely.
Why not? Let's just go ahead and open up our lives to other people that we may not even know in a podcast.
Sounds like fun to me.
So we're both quick starts, which on the Colby A indexed means like we come up with an idea and we do it. And that's kind of our mantra, huh?
Yeah. So we put a kid to bed and we send another one to grandma's house and we do a podcast.
What else to do on a Wednesday, Tuesday night? Right?
Sounds like fun.
Well, so just want to introduce people that are listening to who we are, if you don't know. My name is Corey Miller, and I run a company called iThemes. Let's see. Lindsay goes back as a political fundraiser. In fact, one of your previous candidates won a big win tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not afraid to say it because you're going to find out about this about me anyway. I'm a pretty big progressive and a Democrat. And being from Oklahoma, it was a pretty big deal that a Democrat in Norman won tonight. And we just found that out about 10 minutes ago. And I worked with him very briefly last year and super excited that he won his election. But yeah, that's what my background is in politics.
So to cover the career stuff, so what do you do right now?
I am the partner manager at a hosting company called Liquid Web. And we do managed WordPress hosting.
We just mentioned our two little toddler rascals. We got a 4-year-old son named Callaway and a 2-year-old daughter, redhead daughter named Lillian. She was the little rascal you just put to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fun aspect of life, right? Is reading stories to them and putting them to bed when they let you cuddle them until they get too big for it.
Well, we talk about, if we're just kind of throwing out our lives to people, I got my mini-me in Callaway, and you got your mini-me in Lillian, and she came second. So I know there was some frustration you would see in me going, okay, why is this kid so difficult? Why are we butting heads, mini-me and Callaway? And I think you've met your match in this little redhead.
I think that's true. Absolutely.
So, okay, let's talk about This Ridiculous Life. Why do we call that? Why are we calling this podcast This Ridiculous Life?
Sort of our life motto, right? We've always called our life a little bit ridiculous. We are very lucky in the choices that we've made and the sacrifices we've made to get to lead the life that we do. And so what did we come up with that? We came up with it
around the time we built this house.
Was it?
Because we were trying to figure out, we wanted to name it somehow.
That's right. We were naming the house. We were naming the house in 2013.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, 2013, and came up. We wanted to say it was actually La Vita Ridicolo because we thought it sounded cooler in Italian.
Yeah.
But it means the ridiculous life.
Because I think the story goes back further too, and in reflection, is that we would do some cool things and in a thankful, humble way say, what a ridiculous life we live, right?
Oh, you know what, though? It even went farther than that because I called you ridiculous all the time.
Yes, that's a two-way street.
When we were dating.
That's a two-way street, though.
I called you ridiculous a lot. So going back even further goes back to you just being generally ridiculous.
But we kind of turned that into kind of a positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say, you know, we've been married 6 years now. We've known each other over 7.
Actually, years, this month, years and years.
Decades and decades is what we like to joke about in the house. Mm-hmm. And but it is a like a little thing between us that we say is like when we get to do cool things and live this life, and we feel very thankful for it, but also it just feels kind of a little ridiculous to two little small town Oklahoma kids.
Absolutely. It is a little ridiculous, although it's ridiculous in Italian,
right? So we just thought we would sit down every now and then and just record some things that happened in our life and ups and downs, both the ups and the downs.
Absolutely.
Struggles and successes, right?
Absolutely. And I think we'll do some more episodes where I surprise you on a topic for half of the podcast, and then the other half you get to surprise me on a topic, and we'll see how good we are thinking on our toes.
I am so excited about that, to be surprised on recording for everybody to hear.
You're a lot more used to bearing your soul to the world. You've been doing this a little bit longer than I have.
So I have an advantage.
Probably so, right? So tell me about the health stuff that you're doing right now. Tell me about your health journey.
So we said we'd do like a series about certain things in our lives. And the thing that's dominated our lives in the last 2 months or so has been physical health. Yeah. So background for me, and then you can share, is, a couple months ago, was July, I guess, July 2017, went into a doctor's office. We'd just come off a vacation and had imbibed quite a bit, eaten liberally, went to a doctor's office and topped the heaviest I'd lived in my, had been in my life. And then also got some bad news a couple weeks later saying I had some not healthy levels in my glucose, bad cholesterol. And then of course I've dealt with high blood pressure for a while. And I think the reason why we want to talk specifically about physical health is this came crashing down for me, but there's really, and I've been sharing my story on the blog, there's really more to this story. And I'm really excited for you to hear from Lindsay too. But I think it was this realization that my kids are young, our kids are young, and they're going to have, their average lifespan could be about 100 plus years old. And so I'm 41 right now, and I can't imagine dying young and them living a significant portion of that lifespan without their father. And I think the culmination of that, and then also I've shared this on the blog, is seeing you really from the get-go, from when we met, you were doing this all kinds of exercise, nutrition stuff. And that has been so consistent through our marriage and our relationship that you've really put a priority on that. And the inspiration of and all the support that I've had has come from you.
Well, thanks. You would think with as much energy and effort that goes into the exercise and the food and nutrition that I've done over the years that I would be like a supermodel, like on the catwalk in Paris, because of how much I have focused on it. I'm not, though, for all of you listeners who have never seen me, I'm not a supermodel in Paris. I'm a pretty average sized female in the United States. But yeah, I'm proud of you to take this step and to go where you are going.
So I was telling somebody today, in fact, that, you know, my metabolism, I could eat anything I wanted at any time in the day up until about maybe my early to mid 30s when my metabolism, whatever it was, came screeching to a halt. And now I've had to make some very drastic lifestyle changes that I'm actually excited about.
Yeah.
But, you know,
which comes from somebody who's doing this for the first time in their life, that they would be excited about it.
Yes.
Because what I tell people is I went on my first diet in third grade. I remember like a girl in my class, her dad was doing this grapefruit diet because I guess he had a bad heart. Like it's a heart association diet from back in the day. I mean, this would have been the 80s or early 90s. And we were bringing cans of grapefruit juice to have lunch. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Ridiculous. See, full circle. And I remember even in sixth grade, I had been sixth or seventh grade, doing a Jane Fonda workout, like tape, like a tape cassette, like in my bedroom at night after dinner, and trying to work out. I mean, I was an active child. We grew up in the country, and but I was not skinny. I was not overweight. I was not obese. No doctor has ever told me in my life to lose weight or to get healthy. Like, I've never heard those words from anyone other than myself, really. But that's led into a life of, like you said, always being concerned about it, always thinking about it, always, what's the next diet? Oh, I'm eating too much. Oh, I'm eating the wrong thing, and guilt and shame associated with all of that. So I know a lot more about nutrition than you do. And I know a lot more about what it takes to get healthy, I guess, right?
It's a struggle that I honestly, it came to a little bit later in life. I remember I was telling my friend today, my mom would give me fruit roll-ups when I was a kid because she wanted to make sure I tried to, like, actually gain weight. I could eat anything I want. And, you know, I didn't really have a big appetite when I was younger, but then I sure found it when I was older. But, you know, talking to you, it's the struggle is very real. And now it's, yeah, it's right in my face.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you have taken it and, like, grabbed the horns and ran with it, so to speak, right? I mean, you weren't denying it at all. You went on your first run that first time after the doctor's office. It wasn't the very first, the next day you went on your first run?
Yep, I think so. Pretty close. Now I'm going to go on my 12th tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, a lot of other people, I think, would just deny it for a little bit longer. And you've just kind of gone, okay, I'm doing something about it. And you started writing about it and sharing with the world.
If we're honest, it's been way overdue. And it's been something in our lives that's, for me, now coming, catching up to you with being very concerned about health and living a holistically, completely healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yeah. We kind of put that out there.
There it is. What do you think is going to be harder for you, the diet or the exercise?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I want to say diet. Gosh, that's a good question. I want to say diet because I'm learning all kinds of new things, but you've made it so easy. You know all about food and nutrition to what you just mentioned and cooking. You're an excellent cook and have shown me so many things around the kitchen. Exercise, maybe exercise, because nutrition is something I can go to a store and buy certain ingredients and then at some point learn the skills to cook it appropriately.
Right.
That's what I like. But exercise is something maybe it's starting to kind of concern me a little bit, is making sure I have a lifelong lifestyle change of mm-hmm. movement, of exercise regularly. So, you know, you've been doing running for a long time, and I just started, and I was, you know, I haven't ran 2 minutes and 30 seconds since I was like an eighth grader in middle school.
Right, which was not a few years ago.
Was not a few years ago. If we haven't mentioned already, Lindsay is 7 years younger than me, so she gets to make a couple jokes at the old man that she married. But I haven't run that long, I mean, ever, sustained,
right.
You know, and since I was a kid, and, you know, just hearing about some of the injuries that people have and why, what stops them from continuing to run, and that's kind of the chosen one I've modeled after you is mm-hmm. to start a Couch to 5K program, but also got ideas, so I'm trying to formulate those ideas of how I can consistently just move regularly and get that moderate exercise that you need.
Right. And the Fitbit helps you get your steps in.
Yep.
Or make sure that you're getting your steps in.
Yep. So tell us where you are currently in the physical health journey. You said this has kind of been a lifelong thing for you.
Yeah. I think it's an ongoing process. I think cardiovascularly, as far as like my fitness level, last year, probably coming off the holidays, I was like, I needed a change. I definitely felt more sluggish. Lillian was still, had just turned two, I guess. And for the most part, I'd been staying at home with them. And I just kind of, in a lot of ways, felt crummy, I think. And so I decided that the way that I was going to tackle that was going to be exercise. So I'm lying. First, I tackled my diet in February. I have like this thing against New Year's resolutions. And so I refused to start it in January. I just like out of defiance, because I thought if I started it as a resolution and a New Year thing, I wouldn't do it. I was like, oh, I'll just say it's a New Year's resolution that's failed. And I won't go. So I waited till February. And I started in February with a keto diet. And did that for 2 months and lost just a little bit of weight. Maybe 10, 15 pounds in that 2 months. Felt a little bit better and decided to start going to the gym. And I found a boot camp at the Y because I'd been going during the day probably over about 6 months, because I was taking the kids to the Y and was intermittently just working out and going up there and walking on the treadmill, and found a boot camp. I thought, I'm going to do this boot camp, 5:30 in the morning, 3 days a week, and started doing the boot camp. And by like August and September of last year, I'd lost overall about 30 or 35 pounds and was running 15 miles a week and doing boot camp and working out 5 or 6 days a week and felt really, really good. And then going into the fall, ran my first half marathon and continued working out. Let go of my diet a little bit in the spring and had a death in the family, which I'm sure we'll address in another podcast at another time. And I have no other way to describe it except I just leaned into my grief and allowed my eating habits to kind of take control and just go, I am an emotional eater and I'm very sad and I'm going to choose food. And I knowingly and consciously did that. And so, and still worked out a little bit. I wasn't totally done with working out because of my buddy that I had at the gym.
She's helped you a bunch.
Yeah, she helped me a lot. And I ran another half marathon and did one in March and did another one in May, Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. In May or April. Okay. In April. And then now I'm kind of back on it. Right. So I lost 35 pounds last year. I gained it all back plus some this year. And so now I'm, trying to even all that out. So that's where I am now.
But you've stuck to it. You've persevered even through, you know, you mentioned the passing of a family member, your brother.
Yeah.
And that was, you disrupted everything.
Yeah, it really did.
But now you're back into a regular routine and everything. And I can tell when you come home, you feel happier.
Absolutely. I almost didn't go this morning. Did I tell you that?
No.
I almost didn't go this morning. And I actually like just turned my alarm off and went back to sleep. And I was laying there and I was like, oh, I really want to go back to sleep. And I knew I was going to be really mad at myself. But I was like, I'm just going to have to deal with that later. I'll just be mad at myself later. Then I heard Lillian up. And so I went and I helped her. And then I was like, well, okay, I should just go to the gym. So I got there. I was only 3 minutes late. So I guess I didn't like mull it over too long and hurried up and got ready. And so on the way home, I was like, okay, I'm glad I went. It was the right decision. But I definitely did think about not going.
So my story is more public. But one part I haven't shared yet is, you know, turning 40 a year ago, year and a half ago, midlife stuff in my life happening, thinking about purpose and meaning and what to do with the second half of my life. But the thing that I'm curious about is, as we kind of talked about this whole thing, is how much women have to go through. I mean, in this span that we've known each other, you've had two babies, which has been childbirth is pregnancy, childbirth, all that is incredibly traumatizing to a woman's body. I mean, you know, what you had to go through and all that kind of stuff. And as addition to, you had to severely change your diet for both of the babies because of certain
gestational diabetes.
Yeah. But like what you kind of shared with me recently was this is a lifelong struggle. And that's kind of given me a different perspective.
Yeah. I think, you know, women in general, and that is not to say that men don't have body image issues because they absolutely do. And I think as we've heard people share their stories with us, a lot of people have body image issues. I think women get the brunt of the credit on that, but men do too. Men have eating disorders just like women do. We're all under each other's microscope and probably self-perceive those microscopes as well. But yeah, I've had a lifelong body image issue and people can't tell by looking at me because I'm not someone that you would look at and say that I have no confidence because people look at me and I do have confidence, or at least I'm really good at faking it. But what you tell yourself when you're alone or when you're looking in the mirror is probably something a little bit different than when you're walking into a room for the very first time and want to make a good impression with the people that you're talking to. So
what's so incredible is that people that know you know how you exude confidence and don't know that some of those issues are still even with you. I remember one of the first, I don't know, it was probably our third or fourth date. You're like, you know, I love my body. And you go.
You mean our 16th date.
16th date. Let's say that. And you go basically like, best thing about my body are my calves. And you were hardcore like working out with our friend Amber. But I was like, well, let me look at your calves, you know. But, you know, and it's you do naturally feel like you exude confidence. Mm-hmm. But you've been wrestling with this thing for a long, long time.
Right.
But it's I think it's going to be terribly freeing for someone to hear someone like you, strong, independent, and confident, no matter if it's true or not at all times, which, it's never is for anybody, right?
Yeah.
Be able to say, like, I wrestled with this. I think that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, I hope that being vulnerable and open like this is good for someone else to hear. And we're not alone, right? I think I've heard that somewhere before. And it's good to be reminded of that.
Well, that's part of this podcast. We want to talk about all these things that we talk about at home. Mm-hmm. And wanted to kind of share those with other people just because we like to kind of be open source parts of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. We have really good windshield time. And I think our windshield time conversations are really good conversations to share and to have them with others too. I want to hear what other people think about our conversations that we have on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. What she's talking about is when we had a cabin in New Mexico, or we went to New Mexico for the last, since we've known each other, it's about a 9-hour drive, and we would have all kinds of windshield time together, meaning we would end up turning the radio down really low just to have something in the background and have all these.
We create three businesses and plan out the next 10 years.
Yeah, it was fun. We've had so many discussions from politics to sex to relationships to business in those conversations. And we do it in different ways, not just in a car, but on a plane. Yeah. Or whatever else.
And I think that we're fun the way that we do it too.
Obviously, come on.
Right.
So, you know, in wrapping up kind of this first inaugural episode, what do you want to do and what do you want to achieve as part of this podcast?
Oh, wow. That's good. I want to start conversations around some of my favorite topics.
We talked about politics today. Where I was right. Oh man, can I take that one off the table? But
I know, and you—you
that is your favorite topic.
I said we should debate some political topics, and you're like, absolutely not. And then you brought up politics. That's so fun. So that means that we get to talk about politics.
No, it's part of your story, right?
Yeah, it's only part of my story. Because we don't know. Here's why I like politics with us is because we don't.
Politics.
I know we're gonna do it right now. Is that we don't always agree. Mm-hmm. On stuff. But we have good natured, heated, but also listening, like, debates on that. And so for two people who love each other and still differ on their views to talk about it, I think is really fun and awesome. So I think it's still on the table. And
we started running in politics, but in all honesty, I should tell you that I've been able to have conversations, even if we differ, and we do, on things. Been able to have a level-headed, calm, incredibly educational growth conversations together. I think we both learned from each other. For sure, I've learned a lot from you. I mean, come on. But
obviously,
it's been so healthy. I've not had that ability to have a conversation like that with people that I might differ some.
Right.
And I really cherish that about a relationship. So maybe we can talk about that at some point, but not get into the issue.
Yeah. I'm also really looking forward to talking about the health stuff.
Yeah.
Taking what we're learning together, what we're learning is succeeding and what fails, and also stuff from our support group, right? Some things that we're learning there to bring them here on the podcast a little bit. Confidentiality of, you know, confidentially, of course, from those men and women who are connecting with us there, and anything else that piques our interest. Right? We're going to quick start it and go, oh, we need to do a podcast on that tonight and do it again.
Yeah, we get a lot of stuff that we were just kind of dreaming of that we'd like to talk about. So
yeah.
I like the starting the conversation thing and doing it kind of from our kitchen. It's going to be raw. It's going to be a little bit not as, you know, it's not a professional studio. And
a dog is going to bark. A kid's going to cry probably at some point.
I've been waiting for Lillian to come out and just totally disrupt the podcast.
Right. But I want us to talk about family. I want us to talk about traveling with the family. I want to talk about some of the trips we've done and lessons we've learned.
Parenthood.
Things we would have done differently.
Yep.
Right.
All that stuff.
Okay. So those are all my goals.
Those are, I think, great goals. And if anything, we'll just have fun doing it, even if nobody listens, or maybe one of our moms.
Only one of our moms will probably listen.
No, they'll both listen. They may fast forward through parts.
Yeah, probably so. Okay. I feel good. I feel like that's a great first episode. I can't wait for the next one.
Okay, everybody. Well, this is called the This Ridiculous Life podcast by Corey and Lindsay Miller. And we'll see you on the next episode.